Welcome to the Short Rod Show. You're talking with Ben.
And you got Brett.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We have a very special guest on the line today. Brett, who are we talking to?
We're talking with Bob Urban. So he owns and operates Murray's Outdoor Store in Guttenberg, Iowa. So if you've listened to the podcast, you know we like to take a little ice fishing trip out to Guttenberg, fish the Mississippi. We managed to snag Bob, come chat a little bit, give us a little bit of an ice report and some history on the bait shop. So, Bob, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. In between blizzards here, guys, so we're doing pretty good today.
Yeah, so did you catch a little bit of a nap at the bait shop today, or is it pretty busy?
I was off at the store, so I was cleaning snow at my personal place, got all that done. So Everybody's just cleaning up snow.
Yep,
it's been quite the season already. I know we were talking a little bit before you jumped on with that, but thanks so much for joining us here, and great to talk with you. I know we talked a little bit about our trip up to Guttenberg last year and getting to meet you kind of covert on the sly, walking in the store, you know, and just seeing what Murray's Outdoor Store is all about, and we were just really impressed with the setup you have there, what you have for equipment, just some of the different stuff that you had that other places didn't, and everyone's super friendly. You know, gave us, you were spot on with your info. You weren't holding anything too close.
Well, like Ken Root likes to say, look for the big walleye.
Yep.
Yeah. Under the big walleye, south side of town. Can't miss it.
Yep. Absolutely.
So yeah, Bob, the same thing when you guys came in and when I first met you guys, I didn't even know who you were, to be honest with you. Sorry about that. I should have been listening it earlier. My
no apologies needed.
Yeah,
absolutely.
My friends were listening to the show, and what you guys do is awesome, and what you offer to the ice fishermen is great. I just wish you guys could control the weather a little bit this year.
Yeah, it's been a little bit tough. My kid is itching. Yeah. Like Thomas is every day asking when we're going ice fishing, especially now that it's capped over.
Now
a little
they
bit.
Can
I'm
see
like,
the ice. Yeah,
yeah, bud, we better wait a little bit longer. I don't need to fish you out of the water yet. So that's why. Earlier this week, I posted a picture of him throwing rocks out on the ice. That's how I had to convince him that we couldn't go ice fishing yet. Cause I was like, you grab the biggest rock you can. If it goes in, we can't go fishing. And he threw it in there and it broke. So then we didn't get to go fishing.
That is visual learning right there.
That's how most ice fishermen do it, I feel like.
Yep.
I've seen it all over the place, especially it seems like on the river.
Yeah, river, boat ramps.
Yep.
Yes, but don't do it on the boat ramp.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where everybody's like, what are you doing? Throwing these huge rocks, and then all of a sudden somebody's wondering why their trailer's all goofed up the next spring.
Yeah, why they snag one with the prop.
Yep.
So, yeah, Bob, why don't we dive in a little bit? I know you've just kind of, I would say, fairly recently acquired the bait shop. Why don't you give us just a little bit of a background of what Murray's Outdoor Store is, kind of how it started, and then kind of how you came acquainted and got into it.
It's kind of two parts or three part deal there, guys. I always ran a wholesale bait business, and just kind of timing in my success and my fishing, I guess, or outdoor success was just kind of timing. And I've acquired a few different tackle lines and a few different things that I've done alongside a full-time job. I was in law enforcement for 15 years, which some people know, some people don't. And then I always did bait shops on the side and delivered wholesale on the side when we worked 12-hour shifts. So,
So are you talking like live bait you're selling wholesale? Or
yeah, okay. Yep. We've done that for a long, long time. More on the gas station side of things because our smaller bait shops were fading. So I just follow the rivers in some of the other towns, and we do that on our days off. It's something that I really don't talk about, or customers might not know at the store, but it's definitely a part of and a piece of our entire business that we do.
So the bait that I'm buying at your store is bait that you caught?
Not that we distribute.
Oh, so that we, you distribute.
Correct. Okay. So I distribute to other stores around Nightcrawlers, Minnows, and stuff that we distribute. So we're a distributor, and then we have a retail store. And how we got that retail store is we went in and helped Beth Murray, which is the name Murray's Outdoor Store.
Cool.
She was on the side of the flowers, kind of. and she didn't really know the bait side of it. She had it for 26 years.
Oh, wow.
And then we just acquired the whole place last January, but we helped her for 2 or 3 years to get it started because I used to sell to her. She sold it to somebody. It didn't work out. You know, you kind of got to – it's really tough market to make it. You got to be diversified. You got to do this in a small community. Flood season really hurts you on the river.
Sure.
Didn't think of that.
You know what I mean? You don't get the campers. You don't get folks doing the flood thing. So to be honest, what helped us this year when we went to third highest record flood level on the Mississippi River Pool 10 and 11 there in Guttenberg, we don't see any fishermen in. We get kind of what it is now. You get guys wanting to go fishing. Everybody's going to the lakes and everybody's going to some of the smaller rivers and stuff because they subside a lot quicker than the Mississippi stays high. What helps us on our wholesale business then, guys, is we do fine on all those other stores. You know what I mean? Everybody's fishing on that side. So what happened with Beth's is then it's flower season. So I'm literally selling flowers now in May.
Huh.
That's what I never thought I would ever be doing that. But Beth has a really good diversified shop. She sells propane, flowers, bait tackle. And you come in right now, though, guys, it's all ice fishing.
Propane and flowers. It is diverse.
Yes.
propane, flowers. So it's really an outdoor store. You come in and you're like, this is cool. We got two doors. Sometimes the wife's going one side in the summer and the husband's going the other side.
Oh, yeah.
They both purchase something and we're happy. They're happy and they're not fighting out in the parking lot that you bought a new $200 pole and she bought a $200 plant.
Well, yeah, and that's what really got me when we walked in was just, you know, the experience was elevated just by the amount of equipment and tackle that you had in there too, but also just the different brands that I recognized that were, it's, you know, you run the whole range of gear, right? There's something really for everybody there. So if you're a beginner, you just want something cheap to get started with, you have that. And if you're an advanced professional and we were looking at some pretty cool stuff, you know, you have all the different upper end brands too.
Yeah. And I think that might distinguish us from a big box store. You know, let's face it. That's kind of what we like going to. I go to them too. I mean, I'm a fan of Shields. I'm a fan of Cabela's Apparel and stuff. But at the same time, we have to make it to where we can make a living and help the customers and create an environment. And I think we did do a good job of that. I don't ever like self-praise, but I like that you guys give some feedback and other customers give some feedback because we're more regionalized too. And we have different things that we use and we don't oversell somebody. Like you go in and like, okay, yeah, you need that Mercedes. You have a budget of a Chevy Cavalier, you know, or something.
Yep.
I try to get a kid start, and ice fishing is a prime example, guys, and you talk about it on your gear. Any more, $200 will probably start you. But next Monday, Tuesday, you're not going to be going. You're not going to be going with $200. You're going to need a shelter. You're going to need heating equipment and stuff. So you can go from $200 and you can go to $5,000 really quick in the ice fishing market, and you guys might already be there. I don't know. No, but it doesn't take long before you're geared up and you want this and you got this and you're into it. And we try to carry everything for both types of customers.
Yeah, you mentioned that you've got a couple brands also of your own that you've acquired of fishing baits or lures, or what does that look like?
Yeah, over the years, what do you say, being young and dumb or whatever you want to be, more ambitious or whatever with time. I don't know what I was doing years ago, but you're new into the business and we just purchased some older gentlemen that were fading out over the years and retiring or somewhat retiring. So I got into it with a lot of good guys. Some have passed away and some of them are like the little Cecil lures that we use. They were called Little Mix from Leisure Lures. We purchased that company. Brian and I from Widowmaker are really good friends. Him and I started about the same time and are about the same age in the businesses together. He purchased Widowmaker lures and I kind of went a different direction about the same time and helped each other out that way. So I've been in the industry since 2009 totally. And then 2020 is when we purchased Murray's, the bait and tackle sign.
Oh, cool. Yep. So are some of those types of those baits that you're, I guess, those lure brands, are those like specific for the Mississippi type lures that they're making, or
some,
give me some description?
Yeah, so like a little Mick, a little Cecil, a little, oh, there's a quite a few different lures. Rocky out of Waterloo makes them too. We carry his at the store. They're a micro spoon is all they are, and you guys have seen them. They're okay. Like a little willow blade with a treble hook.
Yep.
Dynamite for fishing up here. And I talk about generations of lures in our store. We still carry the old Rembrandts and Pyrrhus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm familiar with that.
Which one of you are from Bellevue? You know.
Yeah, that's me. That's Ben. So yeah, Ben. When we get up there, we are going to stock up on the Rembrandts.
Yeah.
Because I need to get into some of those again. The ones I have are 40 years old.
My grandpa, he's passed away now, but he lived to be 95. And we were big into Green Island.
Oh, absolutely.
But we were big into Green Island when Green Island wasn't Green Island, what Grandpa used to remember it as. So it's just not there anymore with more of a duck hunting area now, mm-hmm. I believe. But we would go down there. He would go down there all the time. So, but that's my grandpa's generation. So I tell the customers that come in, those things still work. Same thing when you're walleye fishing. A 3-inch curl tail that was my grandpa's generation still works for walleye.
Oh yeah.
But look at where the generations have went through. Now we use flukes. We use swim baits. We use, you know.
Well, I recall all kinds of stuff. Last year, I bought a handful of packs of. They were like a willow cat. Looking plastic that I'd never seen before.
That was cool. Yeah.
And those actually here in Central Iowa worked pretty well.
Yeah. And, that's kind of a thing that the tournament, but you fish walleye tournaments over here on the Mississippi River. What wins tournaments, if they're legal to use, is actual live willow cats.
Mm.
For some reason their walleye just absolutely hate them. Some people say it's because of, they're trying to get to their eggs. Some people say it's just because they're afraid of the sting that they put out. It is a bad sting, a live willow cat. It's like a bullhead times 10, they call it.
Oh, I've fished with them. I've been stung. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just for the listeners anyway. But it's a big bait over here that we use. So they're very hard to get. They're very hard to keep unless you know what you're doing. They're very expensive, around the $250 a piece live.
Yeah.
And you got to buy them way before the season even starts on them. So what happened was there's another guy that a liquid willow cat, and he makes a product that's really nice. He actually grinds up the scents and has the scent in them and uses them in the plastic.
Interesting. That's cool.
Huh? Yeah. And you mentioned the Rockies.
Yeah. So back to the liquid willow cat stuff that I think that's pretty regional. That doesn't get outside of the Mississippi kind of pool 9, 10, 11.
When I say I fish with them, I mean there was one in a bucket of minnows that I got, sort of thing that I fished with, and I got stung by one.
Oh, yeah. They do not like being cornered. I would scoop them. We did have them at the store for 1 year, and oh my gosh, you'd have walleye tournament guys just, can you hold them? Can you do this? And I'm sitting here going, I've got $2,000 in my tank.
I got to get them out of here.
Yeah.
I want them gone as fast as I possibly can.
Prepay.
Because they're just an aggressive fish amongst each other even. So.
That's interesting. Wow. Good gem there for our listeners. Yeah. The willow cat.
And slimy. You touch. And that's what it is. They secrete this slime and the smell of that, I guess. And when you use them, you're catfishing them. You're almost like you're open lining them or bait feeding them. And when that walleye, I guess when it hits.
Interesting.
And I've never fished them before. But that's just hearing from people. And I'll tell you that as a bait shop owner, we'll talk about that. I'm interpreting everything that you guys come into the store to tell me, because there is a lot of interpretations. My job is to filter out what's BS. And I'm pretty good at determining BS from my past experience.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So, and then what I can pass on and then what I can't pass on as far as locations and different stuff. And I noticed you guys do a really good job on that too when you came up and you call it a community hole and not mentioning names and not mentioning that. But I don't mind those community holes. I'll actually, if somebody's coming up, especially with ice being not safe in Illinois, safe in below Interstate 80, they'll start coming up here and they're like, oh, I'm going to walk across here. And I'm like, no, you're actually not. You're going to get really wet. And I hope.
I hope.
And they're like, oh, because that's happening here the last 2 years. And I'm like, so go into your local bait shops, learn what's going on, whether you're going to Clear Lake, whether you're going to, because there's there is some areas that you just don't want to be at,
especially a river system like that.
Rivers, sure. Rivers, very dangerous, and you guys noticed that.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, and that's a key point there, too, Bob. Where folks really need to reach out to those people that are local, and that's where, you know, making those connections where you're fishing is just invaluable. You know, there's people that contact us that know where we live, and you know, they reach out for some advice on, you know, what would be a good spot, what are conditions, you know, what should I look out for. But when you get up to the Mississippi River, of course, and then up, you know, up to lakes that are natural lakes with springs, right?
Yep.
Where do you want to go? Oh, avoid the north end up here. Hey, why aren't there anybody? Why isn't anyone fishing on the north side up here? You know, there's probably a good reason for it, but you may or may not know that, right? You may go hunt around trying to find it.
Our area, I'm glad you mentioned that. Our area, Bussy Lake, is exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't they parking by the boat ramp and walking across there?
Yep.
Well, we used to be able to. We used to drive out there all the time. But the way the currents changed and the way it's silted in and the way the streams and the springs are all coming in on that one spring, it's just not safe. So people go, they see Bussy Lake Ramp. Well, Bussy Lake Ramp is going to be the last place that you can actually put on it. You know, we'll get there eventually, but it takes about 10 inches, 8 inches of ice before people start actually parking and walking out. So.
Yep. I was going to say that's the hole where local bait shops really fill, and that's what I feel like. I feel a lot better going to a shop like yours, buying bait, getting stocked up, you know, restocked up with tackle and set up, and then just having a conversation there. And you know, I really haven't met a person at a bait shop that hasn't been willing to at least have a conversation about where's a safe place to fish. Okay. Where's some spots where you might have some luck. There are no guarantees in fishing, and I feel like that's where some people kind of get a little sideways, you know, on advice. Like, it's impossible to tell where the fish are going to bite that day. You just have, like you said, you filtering out what you're hearing from others, you have your own experience, and then you know the area better than any other people. So you're doing the best you can, but it's not going to be a guarantee no matter what.
Yeah, and that's why we want you guys to come back, too, and we feel that. Well, it's technically a service, I guess, we're providing. We're not giving you everything. If I was giving you everything, take me with you, I'd go fishing with you. But somebody's got to run the store, right? So, but that's the safety's number one when we see, because what's going to happen this year, guys, and it's just people are itching. Your son is itching, and he just learned, you know, a valuable lesson, you know, that a 10-pound rock, and I'm weighing in at 47 pounds, you know, or whatever your son's weighing.
Yeah, you nailed it. He weighs 47 pounds.
Jeez, he's a big kid.
Does he really?
Yeah.
So he's doing the math on that and going, well, Dad's right. You know, I got to wait a little bit.
Yeah.
And folks are just getting out there. They're going to itch. And with the snow coming, we'll just see how it all pans out. But I'm just hoping everybody's safe and we can start there. And then from there, we can go and have a good season, even though it'll be maybe a short season this year.
Yep. So, yeah, why don't we – let's transition a little bit into just some unique things that you might find on fishing, specifically the Guttenberg, Mississippi area. One thing I'd be particularly interested in is just kind of like – so say I pull up a map, so I could pull up a map on my Navionics or something like that. What would be like some areas of water or something like that that I would want to be like focusing on or like that should catch my attention? As I consider breaking down some of those bits of water,
some of those areas I'll talk about, and I'll just interpret from some of the older gentlemen that have fished it for 30 years. I have not. I've been going to Guttenberg for like Ben's Bellevue. I used to fish Dubuque and Guttenberg a lot. Mm-hmm. What happened to these river areas in 30 years is we have a lot of sediment in a lot of these places that some of the older boys would. Hey, we used to ice fish there. We used to ice fish here.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those areas just aren't fishable anymore. So we're having to find out, and I'd say Bussy Lake is our community hole. It would be right north of town. It's a lake because it's a backwater off of the Mississippi Channel.
Mm.
It's really good fishing for panfish all year round, really, in the spring and the fall. We did really well up there for perch, bluegills, crappies. And the river, to be honest with you guys, is really healthy right now. Mm-hmm. The best I've seen it in 10 years. The bite for for everything since I can remember. And the locals will tell you that, whether or not they're actually going to tell you that or not, they probably don't. They don't like me sharing a lot of that information, but it is what it is. Yep. It's the fishery's really good. You're going to see a lot of fingerling bass. You're going to see a lot of fingerling walleye.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
In that area.
Cool.
It is. It's really healthy. Best I've seen it. I wanted to tell that for a while, and that's up and down. We can start at Guttenberg, and you can go all the way up to Red Wing, Minnesota. Those pools, as you go further north, to be honest with you, my personal opinion, and I'm honest with everybody that comes in the store, I should say Guttenberg's the best, right? All mm-hmm. around. It's actually very good. But as you go further north, Lynxville, Genoa, the habitat and stuff maybe even gets a little bit better. It's mm-hmm. just a little yep. longer of a drive. So a lot of good reports of up there as well. Perch fishing is really good. So we have Bussy for perch this year. That's going to be the number one thing for us in the area. There's a few other areas that we fish. Another one being Snymagill access at Snymagill public hunt area, trout fishing stream, and it empties in by the boat ramp there. Mm. It's a nice cut that needs to freeze over. It was still open a day ago. Johnson Slough needs to freeze over. So that's another area that has some backwaters, but we're sitting a little low this year. A lot of vegetation is going to be there and a lot of reeds, grasses, but what people don't know, and I never knew when I ice fished, go to the deepest part, right? We go to the deepest hole, mm-hmm. wherever we can find the deepest water.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the case when we're fishing nice crappies and nice perch. And the old boys that come into the store will tell you the same thing. You can fish in 2 foot of water. You can fish in a foot and a half of water. If they can get in sideways into some of these areas in the weeds, wherever the bait fish are,
yep.
those areas are really, really good. So even though we're shallower, where they're thinking that we're going to have a winter kill, you know, if we get this and get a lot of cold weather, those fish can get out of there mm-hmm. as long as they can get on their side and get out where they need to get to. But those two areas are nice. Snymagill, Bussy Lake for right around Guttenberg. There's a few other county parks close. And then a lot of our guys go up to Prairie du Chien area and fish that area too. There's a lot of different areas there. One distinguishing thing is you can fish the river with Iowa fishing license, train track to train track. You can fish it with a Wisconsin license, train track. Who's the one on the regs, Ben? That's Brett, right? He knows all the regs.
Yeah, no, I don't know anything.
I'm
just
the
out fishing.
Are you the regs? Somebody, I remember like, on the show.
Yeah, there was a discussion we had about where you access the river depends on what license you need, and that's where I got a little skittish on if we're going over to Wisconsin and then launch from there. Right? Are they going to stop us and say, "What are you doing"?
So we get a lot of that. In interior Iowa, you don't have to worry about a lot of that stuff, but we're boundary waters, so a lot of our rules change, and it's in the regs, except for boundary waters, it says, or mm-hmm. exclusive to boundary waters. Well, we're a boundary water. Not a lot of boundary water fishing going on Lake Missouri, Missouri River, I'm sorry. So it's just not what the Mississippi is, so a lot of those regs are probably meant for us or people use them, but you just need to be careful. So if you're fishing up at Prairie du Chien, you need to know where the state line is, which is really weird. And you'll find a federal game warden up there or a state game warden on either side. They'll come out and check you. The river channel in the middle, state line slough is a prime example. We have a state line slough right in Guttenberg. Well, that's the state line, the old state line, wherever mm-hmm. the slough was. So you kind of have to know where you're fishing and where, what's SATA. So if I can keep 25 perch on, I won't say the limits, but let's say the rod thing. I can mm-hmm. fish 3 tip-ups in Iowa waters on the boundary waters, and I can fish 2 rods. I can also buy another rod in Iowa and get another rod. So I can fish 3 rods and 3 tip-ups in Iowa waters. Well, you go right across to Wisconsin on the Prairie du Chien side, and you're fishing over there, let's say, Graymore, or that's another community you want up there, behind Cabela's mm-hmm. and a few other areas up there on the Wisconsin side, you're allowed 3 poles nonstop.
Sure.
Same thing when you're open water. You can put out 3 catfishing poles if you're fishing. But just 3 rods, no matter how you want to do it over there. So
interesting. Yep. That's key.
So you just need to be careful on the boundary waters and knowing where you're at. But license is valid to fish train track to train track is what usually is what it reads. There are some marinas that are a little questionable, or the water goes into this and the water goes into that. Best way to figure out, guys, the game warden's number are in the regs.
Call them up.
Give them a call, and they will know because they've been asked all those questions before.
Yep. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, and backing up a little bit where you said, you know, old school thought of fishing, is you look for the deep pockets and the deep holes, and that's where the fish are going to be. And that exactly what you said is exactly the experience that I've had fishing. They're like, yep. We'll go in kind of how I referenced earlier, talking about, you know, I pull up this map of the Mississippi on my Navionics, kind of what kind of water do I target? Those deep holes, there'll be fish in there, but you're just catching 4 or 5 inch perch the whole time.
You go to the really deep holes, you're catching carp.
Or yeah,
sheephead.
Sure. Yep.
I mean, it's just wintering holes for everything. Catfish. There was a guy that just went out to the.
All right. Well, I'm back in on the holes again then.
Yeah.
Let's get some cats through the ice. Yeah.
Oh, there was a boat full. One of my buddies caught just walleye fishing, and they got into them. But it's just wintering holes. That's where they're going to hang out. We just don't have those. So what I get at the store, guys, to be honest with you, is they come up and they're fishing heavy tungsten, and we offer tungsten.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Guys are totally switching to tungsten, so we have to offer it. But do we need tungsten?
No, you don't.
To fish 3-4 foot of water. Some guys look at me, they're like, what? We're fishing? I go, yeah, you're fishing 3 or 4. 1995, we dredged it out to 6-7 foot, but now it's 3 or 4 foot. Yeah,
that's a good point.
You know, yeah, 95 yeah. is 95 is a long time ago.
Yep.
It doesn't seem like it when you start going by it, but they're working on a lot of dredge projects up and down the Mississippi.
Are they really? Yeah, that was going to be my other question of just years. Nope. It seems like years of low water and, you know, the siltation coming in just seems like
that's
probably
a good
need
word.
To siltation. Is that a word?
No, know. It's not.
Just needs siltation? To get back to that, yeah.
Yeah, I think siltation's a word.
All right. There you go. Thanks, Bob.
Siltation ponds.
You're my buddy
siltation
now.
Ponds.
Yep.
He's just silt.
Silt ponds. That's the abbreviated
version. That's cool. No, you, Brett, you were talking the Rockies Twin Ring.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I turned Brett onto that when I was over at Hank's bait shop in Waterloo.
Yes.
They carry Rockies stuff. And they have the kind of the mixed bag of lures in like individual Plano boxes, you know, to sift through some of the obscure stuff,
yeah.
Right? So
he
I'm
does.
Going through there and. I'm like, oh my gosh, this thing looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh yeah, it's Rocky's Twin Ring. You know, a guy in Waterloo makes them out of his house. So.
Yeah, and that was one thing I really appreciated about your guys' podcast when you had Rocky on. Oh, was it the old man Rocky? Maybe Ken was just talking about it. It was an episode just before we came on.
It was, yeah.
And that's why I was listening to it, and I was like, man, this is awesome.
Yeah, and to think that he does every individual thing.
Yeah, that's impressive.
You know, hand paints and you guys come into our store when you'll come, I'll show you when you come in again, whether you saw it, but that first aisle that you said, and you kind of made fun of me, which is funny, that the aisle wasn't falling down because we have jigs just loaded.
Yeah,
on
oh yeah. It's
bolt,
heavy.
I had to bolt the pegboard together just to, to get my insurance company to insurance basically.
Exactly.
But Rocky's wall there, when you come into our store and you just take a left, it's just, if you're a walleye fisherman and a dam walleye fisherman, like a Mississippi River, Bellevue, Dubuque, Guttenberg, mm-hmm. and that's what you grow up doing, wow, it's impressive, the wall that we have on hair jigs. And Rocky's our number one, we're his number one customer for those.
Nice.
And he hand ties, he hand paints, he hand dips everything. So we keep him busy.
Oh, that's cool. And Bob, you touched on a little bit on... or maybe you could touch on a little bit more, I guess, about what are some unique presentations on the Mississippi River. You know, you talked on the shallow water bite. You know, that's something that a lot of our listeners have no clue about or aren't familiar with. But what are some other things, and maybe bait presentations too, that you could include in there that are unique to this area of the Mississippi?
So I'm just going to go over what you guys might see that you're not used to out there, and you'll be like, what are they doing?
Absolutely.
You know,
perfect. Yes.
Those are perfect things. Sometimes you'll see some guys, and this goes back to the Rembrandt or the Purist. And if you're fishing a Purist, pull the knot to the top and make sure it's parallel. Don't fish it vertical.
We're going to have to post some pictures of these.
Yeah, you might need
first,
to spell that for me. I might text you later and get a spelling on that.
Yeah, Purist is P-U-R-I-S-T. And again, okay, like custom jigs and spins. I think they still make them, but they discontinued the Rembrandt because it's the generational thing. It's those guys, unfortunately, are not with us anymore. And if they didn't pass that lure transition onto their son and onto their grandson, but we still carry them. They're still used. Yep. It's just a little spoon, a plastic spoon. One's a willow lid. One's just a circle.
Yep.
Both are fished flutter like lures. And you'll see these guys with, let's say, 3, 4, 5 foot rods. And you'd be like, what are they doing? Well, yeah, longer rods are being, they're cooler now with noodle rods and this. Guys are going longer now that the tents are a little bit more open. We're not in these suitcase ones. We're more comfortable. You don't need a 24 inch rod. You can use a 36 or a 32. But these are actually the line. They're still fish rods. The line goes through them. The actual blank of the pole.
Mm-hmm.
It's an upper Mississippi rod, basically. I don't know where else you would use them other than shallow water. The reel is not really meant to be used on them. They are actually making ones now that have a drag, which kind of helps.
Hmm.
But there's really no drag even on them. They're just a cheap reel, plastic reel that has a little, it's just basically meant to, for you to pull up. So you're fishing a 40, let's say a 48 inch rod, and you'll see some guys on a golf handle scoop. Have you ever seen those?
Ice
scoop?
Well, I know what an ice scoop is, but I've never seen with a golf handle on it.
Okay. I'll show you one when you come in the store. This is just for the river.
Okay.
You'll see guys because they're fishing all day. They're not in their tent. Let's say it's 20 degrees out. We're fishing all day. They're hole hopping for crappies. This was the old crappie technique. Drill a bunch of holes wherever you need to go, straight line, try to figure out where they're at. And they're going to hop those holes, fish it for a little bit. They bend their spring. You know how your spring is always just kind of parallel with your pole?
Mm-hmm.
They'll bend their spring perpendicular to the pole so you can see it better because it's out there, right? It's out there 4 feet.
So you're bending the spring, sure, like spring bobber on the pole.
You're bending
down
the actual spring bobber on the pole, not down, but let's say to the left. So it's
so you can see it stick off to the side a little bit.
Your depth perception is a little bit better.
Yeah.
And they're fishing those Rembrandts, Purist, what would I use now? Slender spoons, Mix, Cecil's, Twin Rings. That's what they're using on them. Really light stuff because those spring bobbers are light.
Yep.
Now they're making spring bobbers that you can paint different colors, kind of like the old St. Croix where you could buy the different for tungsten and stuff. Now you can fish heavier ones with them. But you're jigging those up and down the river, standing on your scoop, using that handle as a brace, just kind of leaning up to it, and you're doing that all day. You got to lean on something all day. So they're just kind of leaning on that. You'll see a guy, and you're like, gosh, he's not giving up. He's not giving up. What's he doing? Well, he's landing 2 or 3 crappies per hole. Moving per hole.
Moving.
And he's getting his crappies while we're sitting waiting for the crappies to come to us. They're pretty cautious on when they do it. They're moving pretty slow.
Yep.
The guys are, but you'll see that down in, I'd say Dubuque backwaters too. That's where I used to fish a lot too. Guttenberg. You'll see a lot of those long poles with the line going through the rod. Some technique that you'll see that you won't see anywhere else because you're not going to be able to get that fish through. You're just lifting those fish up.
Yep.
So you can lift them up about 10 foot. You can fish, I'd say 8, 9 foot and down you can fish because the longer the rod, they make them 6 foot long too. You lift it up 6 foot. You can actually lift a fish out of probably 12 foot of water if you're 6 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
So you're that's saying a different technique.
They're trying to be super quiet really so that those in that shallow water, that's a big deal.
Yep. Big deal. Sure. Stay away from the hole. There's a lot of different techniques for that. Crappies are very, very finicky fish. You guys both know that. And they're really fun to catch.
Are they putting bait on that sort of stuff or they're just sending that lure down?
I'm going to say most of those are no bait.
Oh.
But I run a bait shop, right?
So they put a lot of bait on it.
Yeah, they load them up.
So like Rembrandts, I don't think you have to. You can always add stuff. Like what I tell people is it's a confidence thing. If you just want to go catch fish, put bait on anything, whether it's a red spike or a wax worm. You want to catch fish, you don't care about size. And then you start caring about size more. You don't need bait on a lot of those spoons.
Yep.
And a lot of those lures, especially the plastic bites now, all the plastics that are out. Do you need bait? It's nice to take along. Sure. But do, yep. do you need it? Probably not, even in the middle game anymore. If you're going after big walleyes and you're going after big river fish, they're smacking plastics and smacking big blades and different stuff like that. And that doesn't have a minnow on it either. So,
yep.
That's cool. I like that. I like those techniques and some of the longer rods. And I actually have one that my grandpa passed down to me. So we're going to bring that up with us. I got the bucket ready to go with the old Mississippi River fishing setup. Got some old tackle and excited to try that out.
Yeah.
It'll still work then. That's a good confidence booster. It's still there.
My grandpa had the wooden rod schoolie, you know, or whatever with the two rings. And then when you drop down those rods, your jig would go in a rectangle the whole way down because the memory of the line. And then they went to the fly reels or the open reel kind of thing, or the bigger reels, which we still sell and they still work. Yep. That's all you need on the backwater. You're fishing 3-4 foot of water. You don't need anything special.
Yeah, because I remember, one thing we got, Ben picked up while we were there last year was a tip down. And that's something we don't typically fish with much ever.
So tip downs are going to be big, and the reason they're going to be big, guys, is for...
And that old boy that was fishing next to us last year was fishing with tip downs also.
Yep.
Yeah. It's big for perch. We'll talk about the perch numbers and what they're doing. That's the extra bonus fish I tell people. We are very fortunate they came back. It's been probably 5-6 years now that they've been back, and they've just been getting better and better. And the way I gauge that, just as a bait shop, is in the fall when I start seeing perch being caught in the tailwaters. And every year it's gotten more and more. They're doing more in the fall. That means the perch are coming up, just like because they're going to spawn in the spring, right? So if we're getting numbers in the fall, I'm like, oh boy, we've got some serious, you know what I mean? Some serious numbers. They're going to be here for a while. It's an extra bonus fish for if you want to come and catch them. I know you can go to Devil's Lake. I know you can do a lot of other stuff, but we have Devil's Lake in our backyard. And we might not catch a ton of big ones, but there are 14s, 15s that'll come out of the river this year. And it's fun. And tip downs are the way to go for those and crappies. Crappies have been a little timid for us ice fishing the last few years.
Yep. Yep.
But the ones you catch this year, 13 to 15, just like it was for, or 12 to 15s, I'd say, just like it was after our 2 years of flooding about 4 years ago. So our numbers and our size is really healthy. A lot of perch. Tip downs are really nice because you just set it. And I'm not sure which one you guys bought. Was it just the wooden one?
No, I got the metal one.
The metal one with that grips in and does that. You can change them out. And,
yep.
And they make danglers, and Innovative makes the ones that people talk about with just the tube. So, and even dead sticking, if you just want to dead stick a rod to where it's not going to run away, that's key too with perch. So setting up a spread like you're goose hunting, I tell people. And, that's kind of the way to do it.
Well, that was really a game changer for us fishing from central waters to, like you said, the boundary waters, and having those extra lines available. That's key. Cause I mean, we had four guys. So we had, I mean, tons of lines out there legally, of course. But just being able to have the third line license and then running, we ran three tip ups, three rods each, you know, basically with four guys. That's a lot of lines out.
It keeps you busy.
Oh man.
The downside to those guys is when it hits negative temps.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things you're like, even tip out or any of that. It's just like, do I really want to set those out? Do I really want to
go chase them?
That's the only downside. You're freezing them up or you're doing that. What's really funny is the tip up guys that are northern and bass fishing for tip ups. They've got a lighter setting, but it's still kind of hard to do for perch. They're going, God, I missed a whole bunch of fish. And I go, no, you didn't. They're like, what do you mean? And I'm going, those are perch sucking your
Oh, yeah, they'll just work around it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they're just sucking the tail of that 5-inch shiner because we have a ton of perch out there now. And they're setting flags up. So I guess you're getting your steps in if you're on a weight loss program, but there wasn't a lot of northern bite last year. We didn't have a very good one, but we will this year again. There's a lot of shad. a lot of bait fish, and 8-inch bass is going to be the story. You guys are going to catch a lot of 8-inch bass.
Really?
Yeah, they had a good spawn up there. So. Huh. Yep. Up and down the river.
Yeah.
Yep. So.
So how would you – is everything just kind of mixed in amongst itself, or would you say there's a way to kind of sort out, say I want to go target northern, or I want to go target bass, or I want to go target these crappies? Would there be specific areas or places for each of those individual species, or are they all just kind of – a wintering hole holds about everybody?
Yeah, there is. So it depends on whether the fish are cruising around schooling or not. So your bluegills are going to be, there's a dredge on Bussy Lake that you'll just see. You'll be like, why are all these guys, and you'll see it in the backwaters of any Mississippi. They're like, why are they fishing in a line? You'll just see a group of people.
Mm.
And they're fishing in that line because of the dredge cut. And the bluegills, you can catch bluegills nonstop there. They're schooling through and back and through that dredge cut up and down,
yeah,
all day long. Mornings and nights are better. Early ice, you know, when it's clear and not a lot of snow on it, you can do better that way. But what I recommend for perch guys, for crappie guys, is try to get away from the crowd. And get on weed edges or get on. And there's a ton of weed edges this year. We fished weed edges all day. Are all fall, most of the fall in that same area of Bussy Lake. But I don't know how we can get away from the bass. Mm-hmm. Bass and the perch are in the same area. So
gotcha.
It's just going to be one of those years where you're like, oh, another bass.
You're I'm guessing. Through them.
Fish it you fast. You just kind of got to sort through. Keep sorting. Yep.
Yep. And, or maybe, I don't know if you want to try bigger plastics or bigger something, but rosy reds, we sell a lot of those.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. That's
awesome.
Yep. That's something that you might not see at other bait shops. That's kind of a Mississippi River
or
backwater
thing. That's a pet shop by there usually.
Do they? They like yeah. them.
They're a little expensive, but you can get them there.
Yeah, they were like 80 some cents a piece at PetSmart.
Yeah.
I was in there buying perfect. Something else and I was like, oh, dang. And they were tiny. They were not something I would probably fish with. It was a ripoff. I'm like, I just bought two scoops of these.
I was just going to change my sign to 80 cents tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Just flip it around. I remember we bought them the first year we went over on ice fishing in Bellevue, and I stopped at Hank's in Waterloo on the way, and I think – I can't remember what the price was. It was like $8 or $9 a scoop, and before he scooped them, he's like, now hold on. These are $8 a scoop. I'm like, oh, I know.
Oh, I know.
Throw them in there.
They're double. Yeah, they're double the price of regular fatheads. And to be honest with you, they are a fathead minnow.
Mm-hmm.
They're just a different species, I guess, or dyed that way. But they come from Arkansas and the southern where the shiners come from. Hmm. There are spots down there, so the shiners and the rosies come from the same spot, basically. But.
Well, I wanted to ask you, Bob, since we got you the perfect bait expert here, just about waxy storage. Because I know Brett has some ideas on waxy storage that's actually helped me out, too. Because I used to kill all my waxies all the time.
Which is good for the bait stores. But
it is.
I am the most honest bait. I shouldn't say the most, but I will be 100% honest with you. We're here to help you out. I know leaving them in your vehicle like you did at
pretty
negative 30.
Yeah, probably not the way to do it. But it's in an insulated bait puck. It said it was insulated, so.
Okay. Yeah, no, not that much insulation. So how do you guys keep them?
I keep mine in the basement of my house next to the windowsill. Exactly. I'll buy a 250 pack at the beginning of the year, and it usually lasts me the whole year.
I couldn't believe it.
Ready to roll. Like they're still wiggly.
Yep.
I got to release them to the wild in the spring.
I called BS on that, and he pulled me
wrong.
Don't
do that. Don't do that.
No, I don't. I flush them down the toilet.
No, I'm just kidding. So Beth's sister is our beekeeper. You always see honey at the Overlook up in Guttenberg.
Yeah.
Waxworms are actually bee moth larvae. You guys knew that or not?
I knew they were bee moth. I didn't know that they were a honeybee. I thought maybe
they get into the hives, and they eat the honey. So I always joke around. I go, Beth. I go, your sister is a beekeeper. You're selling her honey in the store, and then you're selling wax worms that are like they don't. Do you guys ever fight over this as siblings? Carol is the beekeeper, and she's like, oh no, they don't bother the hives too much, but that's exactly what they are.
Hmm.
So they're a nuisance to beekeepers, but we love them and they work.
Oh, yeah.
So he's exactly right. That talk about my grandpa. Ben, you've learned a lot through your grandpa, it sounds like.
Yeah.
That basement window is, that's all it's used for. You can't open it up.
Yep.
You can't do anything.
It's on the windowsill.
It's that storm window or whatever it is up there. Throw it up there. At the store, we have a nice concrete floor in the front part that is a little drafty. I'm not saying I'm not saying it should be, but it's perfect for waxworms. And to be honest with you, a lot of folks don't know this, but we will float ours in the summer. Not some stores don't carry them because they are hard. Once they warm up, they'll turn into moss. You've all made that mistake before when you open
they
it up.
They start to cocoon. Moths? I thought you just said they were bees.
Bee moth larva.
Oh, bee moth larva. Oh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so the moths will go into the beehives, lay their eggs in the hives, and then the larva eats the honey. So that's kind of their cycle. So you'll learn something there.
There you go. I thought they were actually bees of some sort.
No, so they're a bee moth larva. They like beehives, so that's where they're found. But so just slow. All we're doing is slowing down. We do the same thing with night crawlers, same thing with minnows. We're slowing down metabolism at the wholesale level of the bait. You'll start seeing me talk about the bait because we got to keep it alive on the wholesale end too.
Yep,
the best we possibly can before we get it to the stores. So sometimes you got to look, guys. Though, but like. This is a perfect time of the year where did those stores have those waxworms for 3 weeks?
Oh, yeah. I just went to go look for waxworms this evening, and they were all dead at a store.
Yeah. Did they take them? Did they take care of them?
Yep.
Did they? You know, there's a lot of maintenance to them. Are they storing them in the fridge? Are they storing them in an area where maybe they shouldn't be?
Yeah, I've never had great luck keeping them in like just a fridge for a very long period of time. I think it's too dry in the fridge or something.
Yeah, I'd say three. Well, it might be too cold if you're keeping it in your beer fridge.
Yeah.
That's probably because your beer fridge has to be as cold as you possibly can, they say. So.
Yeah, 32.
So, no, 50 degrees. Is that 40 to 50, somewhere in there, 40 to 50. That's where everything really wants to be kept.
Yep.
On the waxworm side of things, minnows are 50 degrees too. We want to keep them under. You're just slowing down their metabolisms. If you look at your waxworms and they're barely moving,
that's like perfect.
They're moving, but they're barely moving. You're right in the spot.
Yeah.
Get rid of the black ones. Give them to a few customers that you don't like. That's what we do.
Perfect. Yep.
Just a friend. I usually give him a puck and then I'll give his buddy another puck and he'll go out with some black waxworms and get mad at it. So bait maintenance on that kind of thing is a must for waxworm. But you can start by just doing your own evaluation, like the gas stations.
Yep.
If you're going into some of them or Walmart and you're like, oh, my God, those things are really old.
Toast.
You can just kind of look. Yeah, they're gone. But if you got to get there in a pinch, half of them are good and you go into a pond or doing this, you got to do what you got to do. But best place is getting them from a local bait and tackle shop because we're moving them quicker. Same thing with crawlers.
For sure.
They're getting in a large volume. They're moving. Our waxworms come in right from a grower out of Minnesota. Oh. They come right to our thing, and he's growing them. And I bet everything's going to hit at once, and guess what you're going to have here in a week?
They're going to be gone.
There's going to be a waxworm shortage. Yeah. So Mr. Bob here, when you guys come up, he's been ordering 80 tubs a week, and I'm sitting on about 300 or 400. But I know how to take care of them. And
good, yeah, they'll last. So save one for us, at least one.
I'll get one for you.
Sweet, yeah, Bob. As we kind of wrap it up here a little bit, you got any final thoughts? Final things to talk about the bait shop or the river or anything like that?
Just what we're going through. We're in the same boat as everybody else, as far as ice. It seemed like it was widespread. There isn't an hour south, an hour north. It seemed like it was 4 hours south and 4 hours north. We're all in the same boat together this year. Just be cautious when you get out. It looks like we're going to be fine by the time we talk about this and we get negative temperatures and we should be good. We're just going to have a lot of snow. So if you really want to go ice fishing and you're talking about it and gearing everything up, you're going to have to – someone's going to have to plow through that first, make that first path. And usually, to be honest with you, it's the older guys that are doing it.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I like to say it's time to be a man about it.
And it is.
Just start pulling through it.
Yep. Yeah.
But still, again, when you're getting out there after storms and stuff with this, you're still going to have to spud because it's just not, it's just not going to be consistent ice all over. It's going to be, you're going to have an inch here, you're going to have 5 inches here, you're going to have, it's,
yep,
it didn't all form at once.
Yeah, and then still got to be open, safe. For sure.
We still have open water on some spots that'll freeze new ice, so maybe that ice will actually be better than the stuff that was already formed. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to have a weird year for that.
Yep. And Bob, I have a question for you. So for our listeners, and I know you're relatively new into the bait shop game. You're not new by any means in the bait game, but what's one thing that you thought you would have with running a bait shop that turned out to be completely different when you got in the game, and you've been living that game for the last, 4 years now?
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like that. So, and every bait shop owner will tell you this, and this is the reason why probably Beth tried selling it to 200 people, and 199 said no because they like fishing. So that's what I kind of noticed, guys, is I just, if you really want to make it and you really want to have a good experience and be successful in the business, you do have to take some time off the water. I've done it before when I started my wholesale business, sold my boat, done this. I didn't have to sell my boat this time, but.
Oh, good. Yep. Excellent.
So I'm still getting out there. What I enjoy though, more than anything is guys like you that came in the store. And then I hear feedback on the backside of it. That to me is enough. I don't have to. I've done that all. I can go out and catch fish. I like doing it. But to hear that somebody started or somebody's going and the tip that I gave them or some tactics and jigs that I gave them worked.
Yeah.
To me, that's just as fulfilling as going out and catching some fish. And sometimes if I don't catch fish, I get a little frustrated because I could have got so much work done at the shop. So it's kind of one of those.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. Well,
so that's the one thing the bait stop one. And I think I'm not just saying that for me. I think a lot of the guys will do that if they really want to make it work and they're putting in the hours and they're 100% committed to it. I think that's what they'll say to you.
Yeah. Well, that's a great tip for all of our listeners here. Make sure you're providing that feedback and going back after if you've had a good experience at a bait shop, come back in the next time you're there and talk about it, right? Don't just walk up the counter and be like, yep, here's my jigs and I need a pack of worms, right?
And cigarettes.
Let's go. Yeah. And head out the door, right? Have that conversation and just give that feedback because, to your point, you're probably not out fishing as much as you'd like to be. But a lot of folks that I hear that run bait shops, just it's very hard for them to get away and fish at all. So just having that feedback is critical.
And we have guys that stop in after the fact, and it helps. We're not going to give away your spot. We're not going to give away this, but our podcast is called How's the Bite? Do you know why I called it that, guys?
Probably because you got that question a lot.
Right when they come in the door. How's the bite? How's the bite?
Yep.
How's the bite? I don't know. We're at flood stage at 24, almost 24 foot.
It's pretty good.
in the spring. High water's good, but not that high, so... But, no, that's why we called it because we want folks listening to this stuff and, we get phone calls all the time on how's the bite, how's the bite, how's the river, how's the ice level. And if we can get, promoters like you guys talking about stuff, easing up some of that stuff and then just getting the true information out there is the number one thing. I know social media can be good and it can be bad, but, most of the bait shops are going to give you a straight answer, I would say. Most of the ones I know anyway.
Yeah, that's where stuff, on Facebook is great, but at the same time, it's at your own risk, at your own pace.
Well, and then that bite's already happened.
Yes. You're reading about it the next day, or maybe, if somebody's really smart, they're waiting until a week later and then posting the pictures of their fish they caught.
Yeah.
And telling you where it was. Well,
should have been here yesterday.
Exactly.
Yeah. We hear that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. No, that's great. And then for folks that want to find your bait shop, want to learn more about Murray's Outdoor Store, what's the best way they can do that?
We're under Kenoy's. We're under some kind of game fish.
That's right.
Oh, that big walleye. Yeah.
Oh, the big walleye. Yeah, we're under the big walleye, south side of town. You guys are coming from the south. A lot of folks are.
Yep.
Most of our customers are from the south, it seems like a lot of them. So you'll come down a lot, really scenic, awesome area.
Mm-hmm.
The overlook's there on your right. You'll be
beautiful
just paying
town.
Attention. Yeah. It's limestone bluffs, really, really nice town, nice camping area, a lot going on in Guttenberg right now. We're just right there on the corner under the big walleye, 1402 South Highway 52. We'll have a lot of plants out. We have a lot of stuff going on in the summer. And then just a lot of stuff in the store. Some folks didn't even know I love hearing folks coming in, traveling through. It's a nice tourist area too for fall yep. season for the leaves. Some folks don't even know we have tackle, which is just like, what am I doing wrong?
they're here for the flowers and that's it.
They're absolutely. Here for the flowers. They're here for the honey. They're here for that. And then the husband's
they're here for the propane.
Like, propane. They're going, oh my gosh. They walk in and they do the, oh my gosh, you guys got a lot of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, we do. It's my job to mm-hmm. make sure that you guys know that we're here. So.
Excellent. And then you have a Facebook page, Murray's Outdoor Store, and then yeah, your podcast. Tell us a little bit more about that.
How's the Bites? It's a weekly podcast we're doing. Fridays we put it out because Fridays are our busiest days. Everybody's getting ready to plan the weekend. We put it out on Friday. It might air Friday night, depending on how Ken does. Ken Root is the old agribusiness talk reporter. You will know his voice.
Mm-hmm.
From yep. Oklahoma originally. He has a place up here on the island here right by Bussy Lake. And he came in one day and, you know, when you're a business owner, you say no a lot. You just immediate reaction. No, I'm good. No, no, no. Ken goes, how would you like to do a podcast? I think I said no the first time. And then the second time he came in and I go, you know, I got to start saying yes one of these times. And yeah, let's just try it. And it took off and now I have customers going, did you not? What did you do? Not well. Yeah, Ken had something going on. We didn't do it last week.
Oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely. You know,
he had a death in the family, and they're like, "Why we didn't hear the podcast?" We're pretty well roped into doing it every week. It's nice. We have a feature on it this week. I'm not sure what we're doing for tomorrow with the snowstorms going on, but it'll definitely be ice conditions. In the spring and fall, it'll be where the river level is, whether the gates are open, because there's yep. just so many variables fishing the river where it can affect fishing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that lock and dam opens up, or they open the gates, you might as well shut it off for a day, you know what I mean? Or something just switches. There's a lot to the river. And people that are traveling like an hour, 2 hours, you guys will be traveling 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You're coming either way, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're coming either way. But some people will plan their trips based on the river report,
sure.
The water report, what's going on. And they'll call the store, try to get some information. And what I really like and have the integrity and I want to keep is that we're honest. We're honest with you. I think you guys came up and you came up in February, I think, or something. And mm-hmm. it was a brutal bite. It just was. And sometimes that happens.
Yep.
I'm just hoping it's not January lockjaw on first ice is what I was telling people.
We'll catch them. I'm not worried about that.
Nah, you guys will find them. You guys did good for your first time.
Oh, we had a great time. Yeah, it was excellent. And we, you know, like we kind of mentioned too, we like kind of doing our own thing, getting away from the crowds a little bit, having kind of an adventure trip. But this time, you know, we'll be up there for a little bit more time. So we're looking forward to that too, getting on the good bites and trying out different things, trying out our tip downs. I haven't even opened it yet. Still sitting down here in my basement.
For a year?
Yeah. Nice.
Well,
and again, guys, Ken will talk about, we have kind of a crowd that hangs out at the store and, like a coffee shop. They're like, put in a coffee machine. And I know, no, they won't leave if I put it in a coffee machine.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean? So, but those guys were, you know, again, I don't get to go fishing. So I rely on, we have probably 10 really nice local retired guys that are in all the time, and several of them, if you guys come in, they'll help you out. Have no problem with it. Helping guys out, talking tactics. I think that's what we have versus some other stores. So some of those local guys will come in and they'll help out. They're not going to just stick their nose at you and say, oh, good luck, where are you catching them, or how's the bite in the water, you know what I mean? That's never a good thing to say. Some of the guys will say that joking around, but we have that atmosphere at the store, and I think if you guys come up, I bet we could twist one of their arms and see if they could go fishing with you or show you a few spots. Anyway,
we want to get you to sneak away too a little bit, see if we can steal you for a couple hours.
Hey, I'm off on Wednesday.
All right.
Usually.
Hey, there we go. So,
Well, we'll be up there. We're getting up, but we were just talking about that before here. We'll get up there bright and early. So,
excellent. All right.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Bob, and we'll catch you next time on
The Short Ride Show.